This is a Carlisle ValueCast, brought to you by the Carlisle Group. ValueCast brings you insights from our One Carlisle Network, providing analysis, data, and observations to help you navigate the global economy and top-of-mind issues in news. The Carlisle Group. Invest wisely. Create value.
Greetings and welcome to Carlisle ValueCast. I'm Chris Ullman, head of Carlisle's Global Communications. Thank you for joining us on this latest installment of our We Are Carlisle podcast series. Our guest today is Brooke Coburn, Chief Operating Officer of our energy platform and co-head of Carlisle's U.S. mid-market investment team. So welcome, Brooke.
Thanks, Chris.
Brooke, you've been here a long time. When did you join the firm and what have you been doing for all these years?
I wish there was a succinct answer to that. I joined in 1996. At the time, we had one office. Everyone was based here in the Washington office. Deals were sort of done by walking down the hall and speaking with Bill Conway. So it was a very different time. We were a classic single office partnership at that point. I started when Carlisle did one thing, which was U.S. buyouts, and I was a part of the U.S. buyout team for the first 5 years. I moved out of the big buyout business into growth and mid-markets, where I've spent the majority of the last 12 years. About a year ago, Bill Conway asked me to help manage the growth of the energy business, which has gone from being a fairly small part of Carlisle, at least relative to the buyout business, to a very large and growing platform. And there are today three, soon to be four, elements of that business. We have an international energy business, which has a really broad mandate, everything from upstream to downstream refining and marketing outside of North America. We have a U.S. power business, and that's a merchant power business that focuses on acquiring mostly natural gas-fired power plants and then driving operational improvements. We have an infrastructure fund, which is just getting off the ground. The fourth piece is our relationship with NGP. We have a strategic relationship where they're our vehicle for North American investments, upstream, midstream, and oil field services.
If you had to capture the essence of why you've stayed for all these years and why you're still excited, what's at the core?
Like most of the people who come to Carlisle at the entry level on the investment professional side, I came off Wall Street. And so I'd done a classic two-year investment banking analyst program. And then I worked with a lot of private equity-backed companies during my time as an investment banking analyst. As that two-year tenure was coming to a close, I interviewed with a range of different firms in New York. I remember that interview with Carlisle like it was yesterday because I had gone through a series of grueling interviews, case studies, sharing thoughts on investable trends and so forth. I came down to Washington, and this is in November of 1995. And my first interview was with Bill Conway, and we spent an hour and a half talking about my family. So then, as now, it's just a very different team-oriented place. It was sort of the antithesis of the Wall Street star system that I had come from in terms of cultural fit and also a lot of my underlying beliefs around how you make teams of people successful. I felt like that was a better model.
When the co-founder and chief investment officer is spending an hour and a half talking to you about your family, what does that tell you about this place?
It says a lot about values. It's more than an assemblage of hardworking, smart people who are going to run through walls to find great deals and make money for investors. There's an element of collegiality, a more holistic balance that I thought was underappreciated in the investment world.
Now, you've talked about teamwork, and you mentioned One Carlisle, our kind of internal battle cry. So what does that mean to you?
I was a big team sports person growing up, and everyone has something that they can add in a team. If they're not athletically gifted, there may be some other way that they can contribute. And what I think is done very well at Carlisle now, and it's been an evolution over the last 20 years, is tapping into those different pockets of expertise, having the discipline to go through and understand all of the potential angles, whether that's driving automation within a portfolio company or figuring out how to expand internationally or cross-pollinating talent. It's really that open-mindedness and appreciation for the value that can be attained through groups of talented people working together rather than sort of the classic Wall Street star system of one great man or woman, one great investor who controls everything and they're the primary driver of value creation. I just don't think the world works that way, and our business certainly doesn't.
You have a family life and you're a busy guy. Tell us something that's special about you or that's really important to you outside the firm.
I married my college girlfriend. We've been married for approaching 20 years. I have three children, two boys and a five-year-old girl. My two boys are athletes. They play lacrosse and hockey. And far and away, the biggest commitment that I have away from work is that I'm a coach. It's something I really enjoy. I've committed 35 weekends a year as a hockey coach. We just finished our season last weekend. We played 68 games between August and last weekend, and another 50-odd practices or so. If you play hockey in Washington, D.C., you typically have to travel to find good competition. So I've spent huge amounts of time in Detroit, Chicago, Boston, Rochester, a whole host of cities where hockey is the sport of choice. So that far and away is the biggest commitment that I make away from the office. Wow.
And what has the coaching experience meant to you as a dad and just as a person?
I had some wonderful coaches from Little League all the way through college. The best coach I ever had was a junior high school soccer coach, and he had an ability, given a huge cross-section of people with very wide range of talents, from very accomplished athletes who'd been playing the game for a long time to people who had literally just walked onto the field for the first time, to find a way to get everyone motivated and to help them define their role and to find ways that they could contribute and to ultimately build this culture of everyone working together. He had a whole series of sayings, but there was one where he literally brainwashed us. We would be going to play a soccer game in the pouring rain somewhere, and he would start a chant. We love to play in the rain. We love to play. And all of a sudden, you'd have 60 or 70 kids all with the windows down on the bus shouting, "We love to play in the rain." And it, you know, it wasn't until I was 25 years old playing in a men's league soccer game in the rain, and I realized it's not great to play soccer in the rain. It actually sort of stinks. But I think that just sort of speaks to the power that a good coach can have. I'd like to think that I have the ability to have that type of impact on someone who's growing, and maybe they can learn some important life lessons along the way. What makes a hockey team successful is everyone coming together and contributing in some way. What makes Carlisle successful is the same thing. It's a lot of the value of hard work, the discipline of making sacrifices, learning how to win gracefully, learning how to lose gracefully, figuring out your unique role and how you can contribute in a way, given your inherent strengths, that may be different from the person next to you.
Brooke, thank you so much for being a part of our We Are Carlisle series. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on Carlisle ValueCast.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to our website at www.carlisle.com. This has been a Carlisle ValueCast podcast.